Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
The Refugee Song. Interesting. It's 8:32. Hello and welcome to Thursday's Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey. That is John Hancock.
It is.
Along with Michael Kelly.
Good morning.
And Amy Markscores.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, this didn't take long. Kind of an interesting development. We've been having stories in the news about vaping. Now, they haven't officially said that vaping has killed anyone, but they say it has contributed to at least 6 deaths and many other lung illnesses. They haven't really quite even pinpointed how or why. But the Trump administration announcing yesterday it may ban the sale of most flavored e-cigarettes in an attempt to curb teen vaping. That decision amid outcry over the increase in teen vaping. According to the National Youth Tobacco Survey, more than a quarter of high school students were current e-cig users in 2019, and the majority of youth e-cig users prefer the fruit and mint flavored products. Michael Kelly. Is this a good move?
Well, to my count right now, we're up to, what, 6
I believe
vaping
six,
deaths?
Well, 6 deaths contributed to vaping.
Yes. 36,000 people die annually from guns. Thoughts and prayers there. E-cigarettes, we're on this, man. The government needs to get involved in it. This is ridiculousness. I'm for regulating e-cigarettes in the same way that I'm for regulating guns. Have at it, kids.
Beat John Hancock?
I don't like this. You know, because if you're going to ban stuff that hurts people, you know, why pick on the poor vaping things? Ban cigarettes, ban fast food.
Guns.
You know, ban. If the gun used as the gun, when used as intended, Michael, is fundamentally it's when you use something as it is intended.
An AR-15 is intended for the use of killing lots of human beings in a short period of time.
No, it's not.
Yes,
but,
it
but
is.
Anyway,
that is the sole purpose of that weapon.
It's just simply not true. But anyway,
what? Name the purpose of an AR-15 outside of killing
target
a lot
practice.
Of humans.
John, self-defense.
How do you can you even do that with a straight face?
Well, it's very straight over here.
There's no target practice
people,
with a gun.
People love to go out and shoot targets.
But explain
right,
to me
wait,
why
wait,
this
wait,
president
wait.
Can jump in immediately on e-cigarettes and
this.
Say that this is the ultimate crisis that's facing our country, but just and thoughts and prayers as it relates
I'm
to
not,
guns.
I'm not for this.
All right, Amy Markscores is leaning back smoking her e-cig while you guys debate this.
Yeah, I am not for the ban. I am for regulation. What we're seeing here in these new results that are coming out as doctors, hospitals, researchers are looking at these illnesses and these deaths that are escalating related to vaping, what they are finding is that many of the complications are coming from cannabis-related or THC-related vaping that has a vitamin E acetate. It's unregulated. It's very dangerous when you inhale it. It's usually used for topical purposes. In the UK, there is vaping, and they're not seeing this increase of illness and death that we're seeing in the U.S. To me, vaping needs to be regulated. We need to know what's on the market. I know technically e-cigarettes fall outside the purview of the FDA and all of that, but get it regulated so that we know what you're putting in the e-cigarettes. But to ban it outright doesn't make sense.
All right, John Hancock.
Yes.
Without returning to guns right now,
come on.
We can duke this out later. In all honesty, why do you think that President Trump is jumping on this so quickly? Some more cynical people might say it's an appeal to the suburban moms that he needs to reach.
Maybe. It could also be that it's a concern of Melania's and he's responding there. I mean, who knows? But if you're going to be a consistent and principled purveyor of liberty, then, you know, this is not the proper role of government. And if it is, then where do you stop? Because government can ban anything that's bad for you. And, you know, there is some level of personal responsibility in a free society that we all must bear. And I'm for freedom. So I'm against this out of principle.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about restrictions on asylum seekers, because the U.S. Supreme Court late Wednesday gave the Trump administration permission to enforce its toughest restriction yet on those coming to the southern border. As a result, the government can now refuse to consider a request for asylum from anyone who failed to apply for it in another country after leaving home but before coming here. Now, that means that migrants from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador cannot seek asylum in the United States if they didn't first ask for it in Mexico. What do you think about that, Amy?
Well, it's not a new law. If you are an asylum seeker and you pass through a country that will grant you or is politically capable of granting you asylum and then go on to the next country, you are no longer a political asylum seeker. Technically, this sounds like it's just an increased enforcement of a rule. I think it's a terribly sad situation. So many people suffering, people looking for a better life in America. But the United States does need to figure out its border situation. It can't just have an open border. And so if this is basically enforcing a law that's already in place, you know, is it the most important thing to do right now as far as the border? I'm not sure, but it is just an enforcement of a law that already existed.
We're a nation of immigrants, and this isn't a question of immigration. This is a question of people who are seeking asylum. Of course, it's a poor ruling. What would we expect from a Supreme Court that was appointed by Donald Trump? This is un-American, but that's who Donald Trump is.
The ruling is correct. The legal jurisprudence behind the ruling is correct. But this is the greatest nation ever conceived in the history of the human race, and all the people from all over the world want to be here. We need systematically to figure out and embrace. We need immigration in this country. We need people. We need workers. We need the gifts that they bring. We've got to figure out a way to allow that to happen so that people from all over this world can come here, and it's the only nation where you can come here and become an American.
But we do realize, guys, that this has nothing to do with immigration. This is folks who are seeking asylum from persecution that's happening inside their own country. Right. Completely different than wanting to immigrate.
It seems to me like a poor recourse to take to try to cut down the numbers at the border. Because, again, this is a law that was in place for presidents before Trump. This law has been in place for as long as I know, that they're no longer technically a political asylum seeker if you're passing through a country in which you have asylum, as many of these countries do as they pass through Mexico. Now, I don't blame them for wanting to come to America. And what I think we need to do, to John's point, is make our border better, more efficient, so we can process more of these immigrants, because we do need them and want them in this country.
It is 8:40. We need to take a break. It's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Marks-Kors, Michael Kelly, and John Hancock. All right, we talked a little bit about guns when we were talking about vaping in the last segment. But
did we now?
Well, we argued a little bit about guns, but
I missed it. I was vaping in the
corner. I know. In all reality, this is probably some of the biggest pushback on guns that we've seen from corporate America in some time, which started with Walmart and their open carry policy, and then was followed by a number of other companies that said they'll no longer allow it. Now we have 145 business leaders signing a letter demanding that the U.S. government take action on gun violence. Their plea follows another rash of mass shootings, and it is among corporate America's strongest statements yet about America's gun violence epidemic. So the group is pushing senators to pass a bill that requires background checks on all gun sales and red flag laws. Now, John Hancock, what do you think about this? Does this give Republicans some cover?
Yeah, I mean, I think Republicans generally have supported and introduced red flag laws. So that one, I think, is very solid. And, you know, I think there is certainly a consensus in the country that all gun sales should result in background checks. And so could something like this pass? I absolutely think it might.
Of course it would pass. 90% of America is supportive of common sense gun reforms like this. There is one individual keeping this from passing. The truth of the matter is if this legislation was up in front of the House and the Senate today, it would pass. Mitch McConnell is the sole person stopping this. We all know this. He's doing this at the behest of the NRA. So finally, we're going to get to see which paymasters the Republicans listen to the most. Is it the gun nuts or is it the corporate bosses?
Amy?
Yeah, I would support background checks. And also, I really like the idea of the gun violence restraining orders. David French talked about it. The Boston Globe had an opinion piece or editorial piece about gun violence restraining orders. Because when you look at these mass shooters specifically, such as the Parkland shooter, it was gross and colossal incompetence that led to the shooting. It was a breakdown of 1,000 different public school officials, authorities, law enforcement, parents, anybody who saw that this kid had years and years of flagrant, disgusting, violent sentiments, whether he posted it, whether on social media, whether he tortured animals and brought pictures of it to the kids. He said he was going to kill students or kill parents. He wanted to kill himself. He had been pulled out of a public school for years because he was considered a threat. This kid should not have had a gun. This kid should have been looked at by law enforcement and not just, you know, pushed aside or said, well, maybe he'll just assimilate. So I think when you look at things like gun violence restraining orders that look at the actions of people such as the El Paso shooter or the Parkland shooter and say, this is someone from whom we can take any weapons, I support that.
Well, speaking of mental health and guns, let's talk about John Hinckley Jr. He's 64 years old now. And if you're trying to remember, who is that again? Who did he shoot? Ronald Reagan back in 1981. He is asking for a full unconditional release from court orders that stipulate how he lives. His attorney presented that argument in a federal court. Hinckley's attorney says that while there's no definitive timeline on when he'll file the motion, it will happen sometime before the end of the year. John Hinckley, by the way, lives with his mother and he has a number of restrictions. He lives in Virginia. He would like to, he says, get into the music industry, possibly in California. Prosecutors are like, we don't think so. Any issues, Michael Kelly?
Yeah, first of all, I don't even think he should be out living with his mother. You attempt to kill a president of the United States, you should be spending the rest of your life in jail. I don't care if you're mentally incapacitated or whatever. This man should still be in jail. I have a real problem with this. And of course, they shouldn't even further loosen the restrictions because the man should be in jail. Tried to kill a president.
Absolutely. I agree with Michael Kelly.
Hey, now.
Mark the tape.
As do I. Although, some of the greatest music ever written has been written in jail.
Oh,
so perhaps he could he can do both.
Maybe he could be a music manager in jail.
That's what I'm saying.
Can you name one song that was written in jail?
Jailhouse Rock.
And lots of them.
Folsom, it wasn't written in jail.
Folsom County. What is it?
That was
Folsom Prison Blues. Prison
Blues. Wasn't written in jail, was it?
He was in jail.
It was about jail.
Just making stuff up.
Old Gray Bar Hotel. Is that a song?
KMOX News Time is 8:49. Round three of OT on the way. Oh, that clever Chris Myhill producing the show at the moment. Shock the monkey. Or is it a support monkey? That is the important question. It's 8:53. I'm Debbie Monterey with Michael Kelly, John Hancock, and Amy. Mark scores... Some neighbors in Creve Coeur are not happy about the lady down the street who has three monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a restaurant down the street for me called Three Monkeys, but this is completely different. This is actual real monkeys, and they're owned by Texan McBride Tian, who told the Creve Coeur City Council this week she needs the monkeys for emotional support. Creve Coeur police have issued a citation saying the monkeys are in violation of a city ordinance. She lives in a rental home, and some of the neighbors say the monkeys are sometimes out sitting on cars and out in the yard, and they're kind of afraid they might bite someone. Amy, thumbs up or down on emotional support monkeys?
I
don't know what kind of monkeys they are, though.
Here's the thing. I like the idea of three, because if you had an emotional support dog and you have three emotional support dogs, everybody would be like, that's excessive. But I think it's the fact that it's monkeys. You're focusing on the monkey instead of the fact that she needs three of them. three is a lot, so if we, maybe we should focus on the number and then decide whether or not she needs a monkey. She obviously needs some kind of emotional support. If you've got three monkeys, I can't tell if I would not want to live next to this person or if I would, just because of the stories and the pictures you would have on a daily basis. As long as it's not one of those monkeys that tears your face off.
Well, they all can tear your face off.
I mean, not a little spider monkey.
No, but
a
spider monkey's not supposed
not
to
monkey,
be in
right?
this climate. A spider monkey's supposed to be in wherever they're
Outbreak,
from.
Like Outbreak, you know, that movie.
Yeah.
Well, so now with all this global warming
this
going
is
on,
simple. There should be no monkeys. They need to take this away from this lady and give these to a zoo or somebody who should properly have these monkeys and emotional support.
What if she rescued them from, like, a research facility or something?
Here in the United States.
Yes.
Why are we giving monkeys to a regular citizen to take home?
What if those monkeys are like, what if they weren't rescued? What if she kidnapped them? And what if they were the monkeys that would have gone to space? Because monkeys have been in
space.
They
have been.
You know, so what if she's holding these monkeys back?
The only thing we know for certain here, now all this idle speculation.
Here comes a cheesy joke. Everybody buckle up.
The only thing we know for certain is that they got to be a barrel of fun.
I can see it coming from a mile away. Enough of your monkey business, Hancock.
I'm actually pro monkey. You know, if the lady needs some monkeys, let her have some monkeys. Now, once the monkeys violate a neighbor's civil rights, or you know, then that's a different story. As long as the monkeys are out there minding their own business and kind of, you know, swinging in their own trees on their own property, then it's a free country.
What if she just keeps the monkeys inside?
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Can the monkeys have an AR-15?
They cannot because they wouldn't
pass the
background check.
It's their God-given right.
Isn't it their right? I would think that, you know, they should. There is no background check.
Oh, my gosh. Let's shock the monkey. And here is What's on Tap, sponsored by Accountemps. What's on tap, John?
Hello, Dolly.
Well, hello, Dolly.
Oh, there we go.
Well, hello, Dolly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.